I want you to turn to Acts, the third chapter, and I'd like to minister for a while today on all because of a prayer meeting. All because of a prayer meeting. I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. Prayer changes things, and prayer changes us. Acts chapter 3, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand. I always love that verse. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I love the part of the verse that said, he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them. It's always good to have folks like that come to church with you. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, as we look at this third chapter of Acts, there are seven things that I would like for you to focus on very quickly. The Bible tells us that Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting. I never thought I would see the day when I would see that prayer would be taken lightly in some quarters of evangelical or even, quote, charismatic churches. Some feel they've graduated beyond prayer. But Peter and John, filled with the Holy Ghost, had not lost their desire nor their zeal to go to the prayer meeting. In fact, they were on their way to a prayer meeting. I have never sensed the intensity that I feel in my spirit that prayer is more important today than it ever has been. It's more important today for our nation. It's more important today for our churches. It's more important today for us individually. And so prayer is still important in the body of Christ. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their evil ways and pray." Prayer was part of it. "If my people shall pray." If my people shall pray. So Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting. Thank God there were two men that were still praying. It's good to have prayer buddies, isn't it? Good to have prayer partners. Peter and John on their way to the temple for the hour of prayer. Now there's another interesting person here, Peter and John. Now thirdly, there's a lame man, and he is good and lame. I mean, he is completely lame. Lame from his mother's womb. This man does not have a headache. This man did not wake up this morning saying, "I need healing. I just don't feel real good." This man has been lame from his mother's womb. A miracle of God is in the making. There's a miracle in motion. Some people say, "Where are miracles today?" God is still working. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Right here in this very church, a man was prayed for from New England, and I love to get the current reports. I ask for them. This man, Maurice, was in this church. His PSA count was 144. I'm a man, and I've never heard of that before. I've questioned that, and that was accurate. 144. How he was even living or moving, how he was able to fly here from New England. He came here expecting to be healed. He came here expecting to be healed. God loves that kind of a person. And now it's been, I'm trying to think what period of time. January. Now it's 0.2. Now, if you don't know anything about this type of thing, that would just go right over your head. But this is very significant. This is a miracle of God. And the miracle is holding. And the man is rejoicing. Someone said that just happened. Yeah, you'd be rejoicing if it just happened to you. Thank God. God is a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. We have a lady here in the audience today. She came last Sunday morning. And she's been coming, I believe this would be the third or fourth Sunday morning. Testimony of cancer. And I said, would you please write it out? It's a powerful testimony of how that God has touched her. In fact, when she came for prayer the other night, her hair was gone because of the treatments. And she said, I was in my garden clothes and someone, I think, tricked her into coming. It wasn't a mean trick. It was just they drove by to see where the church had been. Well, I wondered where it is now. So they drove around the corner and said, well, maybe it's here somewhere. And so then there's a service going on. And so she thought she would sit on the back and someone sat her on the second or the third pew. God touched her. Very detailed testimony that the doctors give her a clean bill of health. And I don't have time to read all of it, but it was nearly 2 weeks before I got my next report from the blood test. The doctor happily announced to my son and me that there was absolutely no cancer in the blood. It was gone. Praise God. Jesus is still the great physician. The best news that this is not the end of the story. It is the beginning of a new Dorothy. I thank God for life and for life renewed in me. And I thank God for the people of Calvary Cathedral for just being there. And of course, Brother Billy Burke was praying the night that. So you know, things are happening. And you don't just walk in on cue and press the M button and get your miracle. It just doesn't work that way. Sometimes I was talking to our staff. You know, it's amazing. There's always something to work through with all of us. You have to work through our personalities. I mean, you have to sort through some things. Sometimes people come in and they're used to a 30-minute service. And, you know, there's a difference in a 30-minute service and a two-hour service or an hour-and-a-half service. And I have no criticism there, but, you know, I need more of God. I need more of His presence. And so in His presence is fullness of joy. The average person, it takes a while to get in His presence even after they come. Theoretically, scripturally, we're supposed to come into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. But it takes a little while for some folks to be cranked up. All right, now, here is Peter and John. It's the hour of prayer. Peter and John. Here is a lame man, lame from his mother's womb. And he sees Peter and John going into the temple asking an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Have you ever heard someone say, don't look at me? That's not what Peter said. He said, look on us. You know why? Because he wanted eye-to-eye contact. He wanted that man to, you can see faith. You can see faith. You can see a smile of encouragement. You can see faith. You can smell faith. You can sense faith. There's something vibrant about faith. And he said, look on us. And he gave heed unto him, expecting to receive some money, something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I tell you, we need some gate beautiful miracles in abundance in the world in which we live today. Thank God for those that are born again. But oh, there's a sick world out there that needs the healing touch of our Lord Jesus Christ. He not only looked on him and said, look on us. But he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. There's something about the uplift of faith. You can sense it in a voice. You can see it in an eye. You can sense it in a firm handshake. That's something of God that says there is hope. And the Bible said that his ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You can't get around that. They knew who he was. They knew where he had been. They knew this man. Everyone knew the man at Gate Beautiful. So there was Peter and John on their way to a prayer meeting. There was a lame man who was at the right place at the right time, and an undeniable miracle. But then as Peter began to explain this, actually in verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we've made this man to walk? The God. Now we have three other characters coming into this story. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. You know, this story has all kind of interesting diamonds. It's like a diamond. You put it under a light, and every time you turn that beautiful stone, a different facet of the diamond shines. Here are two men that are dedicated to prayer. God still hears and answers prayer. SPS 40 has been singing, is it true today that when people pray, things happen? The lame are healed. The sick are healed. The lame walk. Those that need Jesus are born again. Is it true today that when people pray, things happen? Yes. And by the grace of God, we ever want to be a church that believes in prayer. We can specialize in everything in the world, but thank God I can say that as pastor of this church, that there has been 24-hour-a-day prayer since 1995. Over 316,000 requests have come in, and yours might as well be the next miracle as we share with people every week in our radio broadcast. Peter and John on their way to the prayer meeting. A lame man who needs a miracle from God. He's given up on that. All he's settled for now is alms. But then Peter stands up and he said, I want to explain to you. This miracle goes back beyond Gate Beautiful. This miracle goes beyond and back into history beyond Peter and John. There are three men that are mentioned over and over and over and over again. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And I want to tell you about these three men that are so very responsible for this mix and to bring Jesus, the Son of God, to us today. First of all, there's Abraham, the God of covenant promise. Hold on to your Bible. Cherish the Word of God. Hold on to your Bible. Hold on to the promises of God. I pray, but I don't read my Bible. You're missing half the blessing. Well, I read my Bible, but I don't pray. You're missing another half of the blessing there. You see, the God of Abraham, he's a God of covenant promise. And then over in the 25th verse of the same chapter, he said, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Children of the prophets and of the covenant. Children of the prophets and of the covenant. God's word is not a nice idea. It's not a nice book that God wrote on a slow day in heaven. God's word is God's covenant promises to you. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac, which means he's the God of miracles. Isaac was impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Isaac was impossible. Too much time has gone by. Abraham and Sarah's bodies have gone beyond the time of producing and bearing children. But oh, it gives me hope today to remind you that there are numerous stories in the Word of God of those who were too old and had gone too far, but all of a sudden there was a faith that was born of the heart of God in them, and nothing is impossible to those who dare to believe God. Nothing is impossible. I love the grace of God. I love the grace of God. You say, well, I don't have a testimony like that. Whatever testimony you have, you ought to stand up and shout and do cartwheels down the aisle, because you once were lost, you now are found. You were hell bound and now you're heaven bound. Whether it was one sin or a million sins, you were a mess. Some people are so smug in the Metroplex, they don't go to anyone's church. They're above and beyond the house of God. A woman told me the other day, she said, there's not a church in the Metroplex that I agree with. She said, I have my own doctrine. Yeah, I said, and it shows. Woo! My. I'm going to tell you, an imperfect church is, at its worst, is better than self-righteousness and Phariseeism. The God of Isaac, the God of miracles. It's impossible, but not with God. Oh, we've said it, and it comes back to us daily. The first report is not the last report. And I've got another word for you. The last report is not the last report when your faith is in God. Be it a marriage, be it a business, be it a personal, whatever you're facing with children. Every week, the joy that I have as a pastor of not only hearing the problems of people's lives, but the phone call that comes and said, Pastor, you'll never believe what just happened. I said, just try me. I'm a believer. I believe I can handle it. Tell me. God turned it around. God did this. God did that. God did something else. Why? Because God is a God of miracles. He's the God of miracles. You see, when this lame man was healed, it was all a product of the covenant promise of God, the God of miracles, and then Jacob, the God of restoration, the God of change, the God of new beginnings. I was around a man the other day. I know three men that were the sorriest men I've ever met in my life. At one time, the sorriest men that I've ever met in my life. I mean, if they said anything, if they said the sun's shining, you better go out and check on it. I mean, whatever they said, you can just reverse it and you're on the way to truth. I mean, these men were zeros as men. They were zeros financially. They were zeros as companions. They were zeros in everything they touched just fell apart. But you know the amazing thing about that? All three of these men, in a period of time, found Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We're filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And are you ready for this? Have been men of agape love now 20 years, 25 years, 18 years. Why? Because God can take a nothing and make something out of it. God can take a failure and make a success out of him or her. So every time you look at someone, you always remember, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't give up on your prodigal sons. Don't give up on your prodigal daughters. Don't give up on your prodigal grandchildren. God's bigger than their sin. God's bigger than all the bondages that could ever touch their life. So when Peter stood up, he said, I have to go back and give you a little history lesson. You know, young people don't get excited about history lessons nowadays. The true history of our nation is not being taught as it really was. But oh, you can go to the Bible and you can get a true history lesson. There's a man by the name of Abraham. With all of his failures, he just kept believing God. And his wife just kept believing God. And they had a miracle by the name of Isaac. And there was a man by the name of Jacob. Jacobs never change, or do they? Jacobs can change by the power of God. Jacobs do change every day. Thank God to the power of Almighty God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can take any one of these three, and if it doesn't build your faith, I have nothing further to say. He's the God of restoration, the God of change, the God of new beginnings. So, all because of a prayer meeting, there was a Peter and John who said, let's go to pray. They're on the way to prayer. Here's a lame man. All he wants is money. He's given up on anything else happening in his life. And of course, the man receives his miracle. Then there's a man by the name of Peter, the same Peter of Peter and John, on the way to the prayer meeting. And he's beginning to preach. And part of his message is, remember the God of Abraham. Remember the God of Isaac. Remember the God of Jacob. But there's one other thing that he got into before he got through with that message. He talked about the name of Jesus. He talked about the name of Jesus. In the second chapter, verses 38 and 39, the book of Acts, the word of God tells us, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, verses 13 through 16, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong. Perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Thank God there is no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. It's not the name of some false god. It's not the name of someone that had a dream after eating a pizza many thousands of years ago. It's not the name of a false ism or a false cult. There is only one name, and his name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. It's through the name of Jesus that this lame man was made whole. It's through the name of Jesus that we've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was promised and commanded us in the earlier verses of the chapters of Acts, first chapter of Acts. But then in the fourth chapter of Acts, verses 10 through 12, I like to read about Jesus, don't you? Be it known unto you all, the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And verse 12 said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Oh, thank God for a church that prays. Thank God for the hour of prayer. Thank God for two men that said, in spite of our busy schedule, we're going to the prayer meeting. And we may not get anything else done today, but we're going to the prayer meeting. We're going to pray. And on the way to the prayer meeting, the miracle happened. You know, we need to expect miracles on the way. We need to expect miracles on the way. This service is not just for your benefit alone. It's for all the other gate beautiful men and women and teenagers that are out there. We need to expect miracles on the way. Expect miracles when we're here. Expect miracles when you're returning. Because God is an awesome miracle working God. All because of a prayer meeting. I never want to forget that I'm here today because of many prayer meetings. Of a mother that prayed over this preacher. And I've told you the story, but I never want to forget it. I remember coming in more than one night. We had a second floor in our home, and I knew the steps that creaked, and I knew how to walk around them. But mother knew how to position herself with an open Bible in prayer where I couldn't get around her. And I remember more than one time she said, you're not going to hell, Bob. You are not going to hell. Call me Robert. She said, you are not going to hell. The call of God's on your life, and I'm praying for you. And she said, you can run all you want to run, but said, you will preach the gospel, and you'll travel all over the world, and God's going to use your life and use your ministry. And I was 10 million miles from anything she was talking about at that time. Thank God, is it true today that when people pray, things happen? Is it true today that when people pray, things happen? 28th chapter of Proverbs said, they that seek the Lord understand all things. That means that when I pray, that God begins to reveal to me and to you. I need some clarification right now. I need God now. And thank God for the prayers of a praying grandmother and the prayers of a praying mother. And I want to challenge people in this room today. You know, there are things, listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. Yes, thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in the word. And as long as I have breath, I'll preach it. But let me tell you something. In every life in this room today, there are things in your life that are never going to change until you get serious about praying about it. And there are things that you cannot legislate. There are things that you cannot make happen. I mean, there are things that you can't make happen in your marriage partner, or in your children, or in your grandchildren. You've said all you know how to say. You've done all you know how to do. But let me tell you, there is a weapon called prayer. And they that wait upon the Lord, those that call upon God, see things happen. Ask Daniel and the Hebrew children. They valued their prayer life more than promotion. They valued their prayer life more than the king's favor. Last week we called for a time of prayer. This week we've doubled. We've doubled in our prayer participation. This week we have seen a doubling of those that would normally come to prayer on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings. Now you listen carefully to Pastor Bob Nichols. We can go down the freeway. We can do what we want to do. We can come to church if and when we want to. But I'm going to tell you something. We are on the brink of some stuff that we must pray for our nation. It's not going to happen because we wave the American flag. It's not going to happen because we have a president that begins his day with prayer. If there was ever a time that we need to pray today. America needs your prayer. Our nation needs our prayer. We have young men from this congregation that are on their way overseas if this thing breaks loose. It's getting close to home, getting close to home. We have young people from this church that will be there in that part of the world if this thing progresses further and it looks like we're headed in that direction. Are you speaking negatively? No, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I believe according to 2 Chronicles 20 that God can paralyze the enemy. God can paralyze the enemy. God can turn the enemy back. God can let them see things that are not there. Well, they are there. They're angels. Just as our brother said a moment ago, that someone would come and warn them of imminent danger. Oh, I'm telling you in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus. We must go back. You say, well, what do I do? Well, I can't pray for an hour. I understand that. When you're out of shape, you don't start pressing 250 pounds on the bench press. If you do, we'll come pray for you and lift it up off of you. But you know, you can start the day with 5 minutes of prayer. It'll seem like 5 hours to begin with. You can just spend 5 minutes saying, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank God for all the grace of God in my life. And pray for your family and pray for the people in your life and pray for the leadership of this nation. Every time you see those fighter planes going over, that's one of those fighter planes that's going to be over there if this thing continues to progress. You see, but God can paralyze the enemy. We have an enemy that's very, very mean, very unpredictable, but God can paralyze the enemy. And then after a while, 5 minutes, I believe I'll try 10 minutes. Amen. It takes you 10 minutes to drink a decent cup of coffee. Not this watered down stuff some of you drink, but I mean, you know, it takes about 10 minutes to drink a decent cup of coffee, good cup of coffee. So I'll just give God 10 minutes. Amen. I mean, by the time you grind your beans and, you know, you do your coffee and then you drink it and all that. And then if you have real good coffee, it could take you 15 minutes. You know, just sit there and enjoy it. Well, I want to tell you that prayer with God is more important than coffee or tea or breakfast or anything else that you can do. And, you know, you just open your Bible and read one chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you just read the 23rd Psalm. And then you just talk to God. Well, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. And God hears a shirt sleeve prayer. God will hear your prayer, as humble as it may be. And after a while, you're going to get a little frisky in prayer. You're going to get a little bolder. You're going to move in a little bit closer. And you're going to start believing God for great things. And praying for our nation. We need revival in our nation. From the day of Pentecost, it was bang, 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 off, off. Oh, my, my, my. From the day of Pentecost, it was just like a prairie fire. And I still have a dream. I have a vision. I see the fire of God over the United States of America. And I'm not satisfied with it up in New England a few years ago. I'm believing that in greater Metroplex area, that the fire of God's going to burn. The fires of revival are going to burn. That people will turn from their toys to the Prince of Peace. That people will turn from pleasure. It's okay to do fun things. I'm not against that. But I'm talking about some people, all they live for is pleasure. All they think is pleasure. All they do is just another buck for pleasure. Folks, there's more to life than our toys. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the economy of our nation. We need to pray for the military of our nation. We need to pray for the leaders of this nation. Would you like to have this nation on your shoulders today? I think not. I'm a busy man and I have a lot of responsibility like others do in this room today. But when I think of the awesome responsibility that is there, folks, we must pray. The Bible said, first of all, that we pray for those in authority. So when we come in the mornings, we give you private prayer. People must have private prayer. They must have some times. If you come, you will have time to pray. And then we pray for our president. We pray for our military. And we're praying for the economy of this nation, because what happens on Wall Street affects your street. It affects your home. If you don't have a dime invested, it still affects you. And so we're believing that as long as we're in this nation, that God's hand is going to be on the United States of America, that we're going to see spiritual revival. Jesus is not a one-time meeting. The Holy Ghost is not a one-time meeting. Whether it's a Benny Hinn meeting or a Billy Graham meeting or whoever it might be, Jesus is a 24-hour-a-day Jesus. Jesus is a 24-hour-a-day healer. Jesus is a 24-hour-a-day Prince of Peace.